Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for tuning in today. And once again, I have Miriam with me. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm so good.
We're acting like this is a different day. It's not. It's the same day.
Oh, yeah. We're wearing the same thing.
Same day, same clothes.
Still repping the Ghost of Her merch.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You better be repping the Ghost of Her merch as this falls on me. There we go. Maybe. All right. Sweet. So, One Cut of the Dead. One of the greatest zombie films known to mankind. Better than 28 Days Later. I'm just saying. What did you think? What did you think of One Cut of the Dead?
I actually really liked it. I thought it was just such a unique kind of movie, honestly. I went into it fully thinking it was a real zombie movie that, like, was going to be this whole, like, oh my gosh, we gotta escape the zombies and everything. And then it wasn't.
Yeah.
But that made it even better.
I agree. See, I am a big fan of J-horror.
Mm-hmm.
J-horror, K-horror, those two are the best type of horrors, I think. American horror is just very formulaic.
That's fair.
And so, like, I've talked about this before in the podcast where I explained the differences of the horror, but in American horror, there's a formula, and that is you get scared, you get whatever is supposed to be scaring you, demon, ghost, monster, killer. It's always centralized to one location, and that's the only place they could harm you. So you could leave the location.
That's true.
And nothing happens.
Yeah.
But most of the time, people decide to stay within the vicinity of the location.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where they get harmed, right? So from there, what happens is you get the jump scare, right? That's the other thing that's part of the formula is you get attracted to a noise. It is a cat. I don't know where the cat came from, but the cat is always there,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you're like, oh, it's just a cat. And then you get jump scared again because yeah. there's the killer. So it's always that misdirection. So it's very like, I know what's going to happen kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
In J-horror, though, it could happen anywhere and everywhere.
Hmm.
Doesn't matter what. Right? So it's like, oh, let me go to Sadako's house, right? From The Grudge or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to chill there. I'm going to piss her off. But I'm going to leave the house because it's safe. I'm going to go back to America. And mm-hmm. then it's like, joke's on you because now she's on you.
Uh-huh.
So I really like that about like K-horror or J-horror. Like anything that's not American horror,
yeah.
I think works really well.
Huh.
But I'm a big fan. And going into this one, I was like, zombies, like Japan,
mm-hmm.
has to be great. And then I was like, oh man, this is a B-horror movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, kind of sad. It could still be better than an American movie.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I thought this was going to be so much better, like something like that. And then like as you're watching that first cut, you're like, I don't know, this is kind of dragging. It's kind of not making sense. Like.
Yeah.
What's going on? Like, why did the like random actors keep popping up out of nowhere? Like,
right. Like, why is it that the girl that got hit with an axe in the head, why is she up again?
Yeah, yeah. Why is the director running around yelling action? Like,
yeah.
What's going on?
Although that's probably the best part of the movie
is
him yelling action. So, yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was pretty great.
Yeah.
Definitely something that people should watch mm-hmm. overall. But let's go through our series of questions. Do you want to answer them first? Do you want to go back and forth? Do you want to popcorn it?
Let's popcorn it. Just
okay.
like in middle school.
We never did that.
You're yeah. missing out.
Probably. I missed out on a lot of popcorn. Okay, so what makes One Cut of the Dead unique?
Number one, it wasn't a horror. It was a comedy.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of fun. It is kind of split up into three parts of like that initial cut where you think you're watching like a B horror movie.
Right.
And then you find out that it's not the case. And you see like all the different lives that everybody's living, which was really interesting because the director was actually married to the person who was doing all of the makeup stuff and things like that, which was actually surprising. And then you also get to see how the movie actually went. So we get to see just kind of the interactions with a lot of different people and then all of that behind the scenes stuff. And they break the fourth wall, which is honestly one of my favorite things that people do in any sort of media,
yeah.
Like either in plays or movies or anything like that. I just think it's so fun and it like makes it personal.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's just overall, I've never seen anything like this,
yeah.
which I loved. So,
Agreed. It definitely was something that you haven't seen before, which is great. Mm-hmm. We've seen zombie movies. We've seen breaking the fourth wall. Like I've seen like Deadpool.
Yeah.
Can't remember the name of the French movie. Mm-hmm. I've seen clips of that one, which is okay. But the way this one was done, which was just like a meta commentary about filmmaking in general, that was impressive.
Yeah.
And it just kept you engaged the entire time. They introduce elements or introduce storylines that you really want to finish.
Mm-hmm.
They don't.
That's true. we wanted to see where that curse was going.
I really did. However, we could understand why.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the meddling of production or of producers, I should say. So that's what makes it unique for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Totally.
So how the concept of meta filmmaking, like we both just said, we've never seen so many or any of meta filmmaking, but you would like to see more of that.
Yeah, I would. I think it was just, like I said, a lot of fun. I have seen a couple movies that kind of do it, that I haven't actually watched, but I've heard of them. There's a movie called Noises Off that, kind of shows the, like a play that happens, and then that's like the first part of the movie. And then the second part is all the backstage stuff, which like coming from a background in theater and stuff like that, I just think it's so unique because like that is something that you go through and stuff and things that you experience as, like just somebody in that world. And so being able to see that like replicated on screen is just so much fun.
Would you make a movie that's meta?
I totally would. I think it takes quite a bit of organization and like good writing to do it, which I think would be super cool. Because, I love the concept.
Yeah. So that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. There's also in The Princess Bride, it kind of does the same thing. It does it in the book as well, where it cuts to and from the story to like the dad, like reading or the grandpa reading it to the kid and stuff like that. Which I just think is, again, one of my favorite parts of, just one of my favorite kind of, I don't know if it's just genres, but just like things that people can do in movies.
Storytelling tool.
Yes.
Nice. As you were saying that, I feel like Rocky Horror Picture Show, it's almost a little meta because you have the narrator telling the story.
Yeah, yeah.
While the musical is happening, right? Uh-huh. And so that's kind of cool. It's not the same thing, but that's one of the few ones that I've seen.
Yeah, similar vibe.
Plays with that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good tool.
Mm-hmm.
What was some of the standout moments from One Cut of the Dead for you, though?
Oh, there were a couple. I really enjoyed the makeup artist kind of, like, getting really into her role.
Yeah.
And just, like, just nobody could snap her out of it. And so she's, like, going around and, like, people are trying to grab her. And she's, like, bum! And trying to get everybody from, like, tackling her because she does self-defense. And then the husband...
As a hobby.
Yeah, as a hobby. And then the husband is just like, I'm sorry, babe. And he, like, chokes her. And they, like, put the axe in her head.
Right.
And so it's, like, just all the things they had to do to keep the show going.
The one, you know? Cut.
Yeah.
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 No, that was a good one. I really enjoyed that one. I had a few. When we were talking off air, I didn't mention it, but the drunk guy. I thought that was hilarious. Like the entire process, especially there's a part in the movie where you hear a loud bang while she's telling the story of the curse.
Yeah.
And it just so happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's just staring at it, and they stare at it a little too long. And you don't know what's happening. And then when you find out that it's the drunk guy's head that hits it because the director dropped them.
Yeah.
Because they needed the role to go on, right?
Mm.
I thought that was great.
Yeah.
And just like the fact that there's the part where they're on top of the building and the zombie's coming after her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, no, stop. And then he stops.
Uh-huh.
And like when you're watching the movie within the movie, you're like, why is it stopping? Like, is it recognizing her? Like you start thinking and you start being critical about it.
Uh-huh.
And then he just keeps going. Yeah. And then it's like, stop. And then he stops. And then it just like plays on for a little too long.
Mm-hmm.
And the joke's on you, right? Because you're like, oh man, this is kind of crappy. And then you find out that there were reasons behind it because they were trying to build something.
Totally.
So that was pretty good. I really like that.
Yeah.
So it's slated as a horror movie. Like right now it's in Shudder. Mm-hmm. So you guys could go watch it in a Shudder.
Yeah.
It's slated as a horror, but for me, it was like 80% comedy, mm-hmm. 20% horror. The 20% of that horror happens with the first 15 minutes where you're like, what is happening?
Uh-huh.
What is this about? Tell me more.
Yeah, there's arms flying everywhere. There's right. heads getting chopped off.
Blood all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're like, oh. Then the 80% kicks in and you're like, this is funny.
Uh-huh.
This is insane. And this is very creative.
Uh-huh.
Did you find any horror elements from it? I mean, when you started off, it was like, it wasn't much of a horror. So
yeah.
Was there anything for you?
I think after, like, once, like, that first initial, like, movie within the movie is done.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything that was, like, scary.
Yeah.
The only thing that maybe could have been, like, classified as maybe, like, intense was when the makeup artist, the wife,
yeah.
starts going crazy and you're like, what is going to happen here? Like, yeah. she did get, like, the axe and everything and you're like, is she okay?
Right.
But other than that, I don't think I would have classified the rest of the movie in horror, because even at that point, it was funny.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Funny to think of an actress or actor that it's like so deep in it that they're never able to snap out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So did you enjoy the performances from the actors?
I really did. I thought it was so fun. I it kind of cracked me up when we went from the movie within the movie to actually meeting the actors like in person.
Yeah.
And the main character guy was actually just a total diva. And he's like, oh, my art.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that is not what I was expecting when I like watched the movie.
Yeah.
And so that I thought was good. I think he played both roles well. And the drunk guy was pretty funny because he was just able to like be all puppeted everywhere, which was so funny. Yeah, just overall, I thought it was just so good. I think everybody did their role perfectly. Like,
yeah.
It was just so fun.
I agree. Yeah. I think seeing how the director of the movie and of the movie,
mm-hmm.
How he goes from within the movie, he's like hard ass, like, you need to be crying, like, you need to do this.
Uh-huh.
But in reality, he's like the softest spoken person, very much a pushover. And I think that really helped him, like, be able to become the director that everyone knew in his family. Not even everyone, because his daughter thought he was a bitch, but like his wife. His wife knew that he was a great director,
mm-hmm.
but he was timid.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very interesting thing, because like you never correlate like being timid and shy with being a director, because you have to be stern as a director.
Mm-hmm.
So he was really like, it really helped him get into his shell or come out of his shell.
Yeah.
And then the drunk guy had a sad story.
He did.
Like, he drinks because he gets nervous and it calms him down.
Yeah.
But then he isn't able to stop.
Yeah. and so, he, like, can't see. I think it was his daughter or his granddaughter.
His daughter.
So sad. Yeah.
So he wasn't able to see his daughter anymore, because the one time she gave him the opportunity, he was so nervous, mm-hmm. he couldn't stop shaking. He drank himself to sleep.
Yeah.
So it's like, damn, bro. Like, you're doing this for your kid that you don't see. And the only way they could see you is through film. So it was like, it was kind of sad.
It was.
But he was kind of cool, because his performance itself, like the real person was a professional, mm-hmm. right? The person behind the professional was a fucking wreck.
Mm-hmm.
But then the person within the movie was also a weird ass zombie.
Yeah.
Because like at first, like his first half of being a zombie, he was pissed drunk. And so they're like puppeteering him the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they tell him, hey, like, you got to be a zombie real quick because they're running out. And he starts doing weird as like.
Yeah, he's like doing all the weird like arms. You're like, what?
Throws up his arms like he's like, I don't know, in a Michael Jackson Thriller video. And his knees are so high when he's like, I was like, what is happening? Okay. Like, weird. But overall, like, every character, the characters in the movie were great. Mm. The characters within the movie were also great.
Yeah.
And I like their stories, like the daughter.
Yeah.
She wanted to be a filmmaker,
mm-hmm.
but she was too attached to the art.
Yeah. And she was like overly aggressive on set.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if it's to like balance out her dad, who's so timid on set, that she's like, no, you have to do it this way, my way, or no way, you don't get the tears, like all that kind of stuff. So
that's interesting. I didn't even think about that. She was overcompensating for her dad's weakness. How about the dude that was like, what kind of water is this? I requested this kind of water because otherwise I get diarrhea. It's like, bro.
Yeah.
What is, like, how are you even in here? Like,
I sent you an email.
Right.
There was an email.
Oh my gosh. But there's people like that.
Yeah.
Have we worked with people like that?
Maybe.
I think we have. And it's so like, I am never going to work with you again.
Yeah.
No names to be named.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So the movie's obviously was made with $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
Which when we read that, when you told me that, I was impressed.
Yeah.
Because you also told me, I didn't pick up on this, but the one cut is a one cut.
Mm-hmm.
It's a one take.
Yeah.
And so how many times did they do it?
I think it was like 8 times that they had to do
it. That's crazy.
Or 6, something like that.
Six but or 8 times, yeah.
Yeah. And so like they actually did do that first cut in one cut. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. Which is hard to do.
Here's my question to you. If you were trying to do a one take, a 30-minute one take, would you restart 6 times? Or would you just be like, screw this, we're not doing a one take?
I think I would keep doing it.
Really?
I also, though, before actually getting on set, I would do a lot of rehearsals. Because I actually was talking to one of my friends about this, because there's The Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah.
They have an episode where it's only made up of three
cuts. The final one, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the final one. It might be. It might be one or two before the end. But they do it all in one shot.
Yeah.
I think it's like probably 20-minute long cuts or something like that. And one of my friends is in like theater a lot. And she's like, they would have had to do so many rehearsals to get this right. Because like you don't want to start rolling the camera until you're ready. And so like, and when you're on set or like when you're on like a like theater set, you have to run it a bunch of times because then it needs to be good all the way through. It's just minus the camera. So like I would definitely like have a lot of rehearsals like you saw them do in one cut. And so it was like they had like fake cameras, they had fake props and stuff to like run through it so that once the camera started rolling, they could get it all the way done. So like I would totally do it, and I think I would like keep going back to the start because they might hate me, but I think that it would just be so much better and it would be so cool. You might be able to cheat it sometimes, but otherwise it's like...
I 100% thought they cheated most of it.
Yeah.
Until 6 times. I think it was 6.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, first of all, depending on where they screwed up, I would be extremely livid, especially if it's like... Because it's a 37-minute film.
Yeah.
Right? So if we're a minute 35... and you mess that up.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure everybody else hates you too. Because I'm pissed.
Yeah, yeah.
You're so close. So, I don't know. I've never thought about one takes. Just like, Scorsese's pretty famous in doing actual one takes.
Mm-hmm.
But his one takes are like 2-5 minutes long, whatever.
Yeah.
Spielberg in E.T. does a one take.
Mm.
Is it E.T.? Yeah, it's E.T. Where they're outside of the home and whatever. And so you see, like, the kid and the police cars and all that. That's one.
Gotcha.
That's a whole one take.
Yeah.
Maybe Jaws. I don't know. One of those two. I confuse Spielberg. I confuse Jaws and E.T. They're the same movie to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who else does one takes? I know they faked a one take for, I think it was 1917.
Mm, like, was that the one that, like, branded itself as the one take?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
That sounds right.
There's a couple. Yeah, it is 1917.
Yeah.
Where it was like, oh yeah, this movie was shot like in one take. And I was like, there's no effing way.
Yeah.
No, you did not. You did not film this guy jumping into the water and have a guy jump with. No, shut up. Like, and then they show that they faked the one take.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank you.
It would be difficult not to fake it. Because I think, even now that I'm thinking about it, I think Hill House, when I was watching it, I think the way that they had their set was kind of like a... like cutout kind of thing where they can like pass through like walls and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I would not be surprised if they cut it like between walls or something where there's like a second of black, you know.
They actually, if I remember, and this is why I think it was the final episode,
because
it's the one that goes into 3 different areas.
It does.
So what they did was they didn't fake it. They actually did do it.
Nice.
And so what they did was they connected one set to the other set to the next set.
That is so cool.
And so when they would walk around, they would have someone kind of like move stuff around as they were walking around. Because if you remember that, like, the camera swings around, like arcs around.
Yeah, it does.
A couple times. So as they're arcing from one set, they are moving the one set to the other side.
Yeah.
Like, because the chandelier had just fallen too. So they had to go ahead and, because it was just like the dad was in the center, and then he remembers that the chandelier had fallen, and then they go into that. And so they had to like move the chandelier as it's arcing.
Yeah.
I was like, that's impressive.
Yeah. They also had to swap out actors too, because the guy who plays the dad when he's older and the guy who plays the dad when he's younger are two different actors, which is even cooler. Like just getting that like quick switch.
With the people that we work with, I love them. Can we do a one take with them?
We totally should.
We should.
Yeah.
I think it would be great.
Would we be able to, or should we? Would we be
able to?
Hmm.
If there's no lines involved.
I think we'd be able to. I think, again, it might take some practice and for people to be patient about it. I don't know how long our one takes could be, but I think it could be cool.
I honestly speaking, I do think, I agree with you. With practice, we could definitely do it. And I think it will be good.
Yeah.
Because they're not bad actors.
No, they're not.
Like, none of the people that we've worked with, even one of our newcomers, she wasn't bad either. I think they'll be able to pull it off.
I think they would be able to as well. And they're, like, they're good. I really enjoy working with them. They're also, like, easy to work with.
Yeah.
Which I think is even more important than knowing your lines sometimes.
That's true.
But, yeah, like, I think we could do it. It just would take some time. Maybe we should try that out with whatever project we're doing next.
A one take. Yeah. We should do the entire project as a one take.
I think as a short film, it could be really cool.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Food for thought.
It really is. Now we're going back to the drawing board.
Oh, yeah.
What messages did you take away from this?
You can bullshit anything.
True. I took some producers don't know what they're talking about at all. They don't know what it takes. Because if you remember when the producer dude goes, grabs him, like, right? And then he's like, are you serious? Like, I'm getting an opportunity to do this. He's like, yeah, it's out of your comfort zone. It's a horror. Uh-huh. He's like, nah, we good. We could do it. And then the producer lady is like, oh, but it's a one take TV show streaming live.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell? What? This is why everybody else passed on it, because you're crazy. But he was like, oh, if you can't do it, like, well, just go, no, I could do it. It's fine. So you're right. Bullshit anything, and it's fine. But also, producers don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Sometimes a little too ambitious, if you ask me. But would you, if someone came up to you and was like, hey, here's the plan. I want to do John Wick. With all of that shit, you know, the explosions and stuff, I want that there. I want a live Michael Bay hero shot as well. We have a $10,000 budget. I love how you're shaking your head already.
Oh, gosh.
However, you have all of Disney behind you to do this, right? Because it's Fox.
Yeah.
Or 20th Century Fox, whatever it's called now. So Disney.
Uh-huh.
So you'll have all of their resources available as well, but you only have a $10,000 budget. We're going to stream this on Disney Plus, and we're going to, you know, multicast into YouTube and whatever other, what would you say to that?
Oh my gosh. Oh, that would be hard.
It's like, imagine doing like, oh, and you're acting with, who's the word? Bruce Willis.
Dang.
Yeah.
That'd be intense.
The biggest diva known to mankind. I'd be like, I don't know if I want to do that.
Yeah. It would be difficult. I think I'd say yes.
One take.
Yeah, one take too. You don't get to cut the cameras. We don't even have other cameras to cut to, so no.
And you're shooting with your iPhone. Figure it out.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That'd be a hard question to answer. It would be cool. If you were on my team, I'd do it.
Sick. That's a great answer. I would respond the same way.
Nice.
Kind of like what when I got approached to do this commercial stuff, and I was like, one condition, Miriam has to work with me. That's my only request.
Yeah.
Would you recommend this movie to other people, and who do you think will like it the most?
I would definitely recommend it. I just think it's, again, just like a fun movie. Yeah. And I would probably recommend it to like either like budding filmmakers or like independent filmmakers, especially because it's just very similar to how it feels like being on set. Like, yeah. It really does give those like on set vibes kind of thing.
Yeah.
With just like two PAs, like the DP running around with a camera. Just really enjoying kind of experiencing what it's like to be on set. And also like all of the rehearsal time before and the getting to experience like what it's like to work with a producer that we've talked about is like at least to a point they do call the shots.
Yeah.
And so
they do have the money.
Yeah, they have the money. They get to decide what happens to it.
Yeah.
Similar to what happened with like the crane shot.
Yeah.
In one cut. So, but yeah, probably that would be people that I want to suggest it to. I think that they'd really enjoy it.
Yeah. So. I would definitely show it to children.
Oh yeah.
Like a middle schooler, right?
Nice.
Middle school to like high school. Fuck college people. It shouldn't even be there. Just because like we've mentioned before, like the arch could definitely save people's lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have a troubled teen or a troubled middle schooler and they lean towards the creative,
mm-hmm.
telling them like, hey, look at this movie, bro. Like, now grab 10 of your friends, 10 of your closest friends, go grab a fucking camera. You have an iPhone, great. You have an Android, I'm sorry, but sure, still has a camera. Go film with that.
Uh-huh.
And then figure it out, right? You have issues? Cool. Look at this movie, right?
Yeah.
It shows you that it had issues. Now go figure it out. You're creative. Figure out your problems.
That's a great idea.
So that's who I would recommend it to.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. And then are there any other movies or TV shows, if you liked One Cut of the Dead, that you would recommend to watch? Like,
yeah, yeah. I think if you like the One Cut kind of stuff, that was, of course, in One Cut of the Dead.
Yeah.
We already talked about it. I would actually really recommend The Haunting of Hill House, which is on Netflix, because it's number one, I think, beautifully shot. I think there are some really cool, like, just cinematic, like, shots and stuff in that movie. Yeah. And also that, specifically that episode that has those one shots in it. It's just super cool. There's also one that I mentioned earlier, Noises Off. I haven't seen it yet, but I really want to watch it, of seeing, like, those two versions of like what happens on set and on a play and stuff like that. What do you think? What are your favorites? Or what you recommend?
I don't know. Because it's such a unique movie.
It is.
And so like if you like super meta stuff, like go watch Deadpool. I don't know what to tell you. I would say though, actually coming to think about it, Jay and Silent Bob is a really good one to watch. Meta, talking about specifically just like meta filmmaking, The Disaster Artist.
Oh yeah,
I totally forgot about it. It is the movie about the making of The Room.
Oh,
with Tommy Wiseau.
Hmm.
And it's just trippy.
Yeah,
like my favorite scene, and at least this is the scene that sticks with me the most, is that he is shooting outside on the rooftop of like San Francisco, and he. He puts a green screen around the rooftop and displays San Francisco, which you could just remove the green screen and it's right there. And he's like, I think it was like the director. He's like, not the director, but at least the AD. It's like, why are you putting green screen? Like you could just, he's like, no, I want the green screen. And like the legend goes that Tommy Wiseau, or at least the myth goes that Tommy Wiseau like 100% funded this movie.
Huh.
And it is a terrible movie by any account, but it's such a great movie too, you know? And so The Disaster Artist is one that I would recommend. Don't watch The Room. and then Clerks 3.
Mm.
So people who have listened to this podcast for the last 4 years knows that I'm a big Kevin Smith fan.
Uh-huh.
Know that I love Clerks because it's super irreverent, but it's also, you know, has good stuff in it, mm-hmm. jewels in there.
Yeah.
And Clerks 3 is about the making of Clerks 1.
Oh, nice.
Within Clerks universe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Minus some, it's based on a true story until where it's fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of my filmmaking
stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. Everything is true except for what you made up.
Exactly. And so, yeah, those are the ones that I would recommend based on that.
Nice.
So here's the thing. We have come to the end of One Cut of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the rating system. 1 through 5.
Okay.
Okay. That's number one. Number two is, would you recommend, depending on the film, if we are like a movie that just came out, like Scream 6, would you go watch it in the movies? Would you wait until it streams? Would you rent it at Redbox? Or do you just completely dismiss it?
Mm.
So those are our standards.
Okay.
1 through 5, stream, go to the movies, or just don't even bother.
That's fair.
Or $5 Tuesday, one of those.
Gotcha.
So what do you say to this?
I would probably give it like a 3.5 out of 5.
Okay.
I did really enjoy it. It does fall into a category of movies that I enjoy, but it was pretty slow at the beginning.
Mm.
But it did pay off in the end. But it does take maybe a little bit to get into it. But overall, it was, again, a great movie. That's why I give it a 3 out of 5 and not like a 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
I think I would wait until it came out to Redbox to see it, because I don't think this is necessarily one that has to be seen on the big screen. Because like ones that I want to see on the big screen really bad are ones that have like really either really amazing graphics or like, I don't know, some really scenes that really hit you in the face kind of, you know?
Yeah.
And so this one, I'm like, I would be fine to watch it just at home. And like, there's not like anything specific about sound or like the actual movie that I feel like I need to see that in theaters. Cause a lot of times when I've seen movies, like, I don't know, the new Avatar, Puss in Boots, the new Puss in Boots. That's one that I'm like, if you're going to watch this, go watch it in theaters.
Interesting.
It's really awesome. Just cause it's all the graphics and just all of the animation is really cool.
Yeah.
So, but still I would totally recommend it to anyone, honestly. Sure. So
nice. Yeah. I would, as far as the genre is concerned, I would actually give it a 4 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a perfect movie, but I don't think it's meant to be a perfect movie.
That's true.
However, it's a good, like, class is in session type of movie.
True.
I feel like there's a lot of things that you can learn from it. The cinematography isn't the most beautiful when you look at it objectively or judge it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the most beautiful, but it is very, this is how you light a scene.
True.
We're outside.
Yeah.
How do you fix that?
Yeah.
We're running with a camera. What do you do? You don't have a gimbal.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing, right? So it's very guerrilla filmmaking.
Yeah.
And I love that about it. And it's just, it's educational nonetheless.
That's true. Yeah.
However, where it really shines is with the story.
Mm-hmm.
Both stories within the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Every character is not like one dimensional.
Yeah.
They have depth. Great. Good job on that. And then the story within the story, right, which is the zombie thing, it really pulls you in and you're really waiting for it to pay off.
Yeah.
And then you realize it's not going to, but then you know why.
Totally.
So it works out for me. 4 out of 5, definitely. And I think you should definitely stream it. I don't think there's any reason why you shouldn't stream.
Stream it on Shudder.
Stream it on Shudder or
check
any
out
other
Shudder.
Way.
Yeah.
Hashtag sponsored by Shudder. Yes.
Shudder.
But I think it's definitely one of those things that should definitely be watched,
mm-hmm.
especially if you are a wannabe filmmaker.
Totally.
I
totally agree.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I loved it. So, any last messages for our listeners?
Enjoy everything you do. I don't know. Enjoy movies.
Enjoy movies.
Enjoy those movies you be watching.
Forgets to speak normal English.
Yep.
And that's okay. Awesome. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. What's the next movie? Do you know already?
Oh, I don't know. We could do Scream 6 if we both watch this in the next couple days.
I'm probably going to watch it tonight.
Yeah, I'll probably be watching it this week, so we could do Scream 6.
Sick. I'm down with it.
I'm about to marathon all the Screams with my friends, so it'll be fun.
I already beat you.
Oh, how dare you. I watched Scream earlier this week. You were with me.
Yeah, that is true. Here's the thing. I've watched Scream at least once a year.
Fair. It's a good one.
Especially 1.
Yeah.
I really like Scream 1. I really enjoy Scream 2.
Mm.
All the other ones, I like them. Do I want to watch them sometimes? No. I really enjoy Scream 5.
Yeah.
I thought Scream 5 was really good.
Nice.
It pissed me off, but I thought it was really good. So That's great. So next time, we'll probably be talking about Scream. Mm-hmm. And we want to thank you for listening because you're amazing. Don't forget that in the meantime, the next time that we both tell you what you should be watching, what you should be avoiding, don't forget, keep reading those comic books, keep watching that anime, rock and roll, and above it all, stay nerdy, guys.